Lion's Choice is a St. Louis original, home of famous roast beef sandwiches. And now you can add two LC destinations to the list. Lion's Choice in Wentzville is now reopened, returning after a high demand. And check out the newest location in Rock Hill at Manchester and McKnight. More locations mean more of St. Louis's favorite roast beef sandwiches. So if you haven't, visit any one of the 25 Lion's Choice locations today.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:04 in St. Louis, you're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, CBS Sports 105.7, HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Timothy Michael McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you on the radio program. Welcome to the Acorns Golf Links 7 o'clock hour today on our Get Tinted STL Captain's Log. Terry Yake, 8 o'clock, Jeremy Roenick, 8:45, and then we will have Kelly Chase at 9:05. That is our guest list presented by GetTintedSTL.com. Make sure you give GetTintedSTL.com a call. Doug, get it tinty, okay. Tinty, so you don't have to...
Squinty.
GetTintedSTL.com, 314-406-8489, 314-406-8489, online at GetTintedSTL.com. We welcome you to get involved by giving us a call, 314-880-0808, 314-880-0808. And that's the same number you can text in, the focal point of the program today. The Blues loss in Game 5. They came home with a series tied at 2 in 2013 and lost in Game 5. They came home with a series tied at 2 in 2014 and lost in Game 5. The Blackhawks, they came home with a series tied at 2 in 2015 with the Wild. They lost that. And they came home with a series tied at 2 in 2016 against the Sharks, and they lost that. And in between there, they lost a series, Game 5, against the Blackhawks about a month ago when they were up 3-1. Game 5s in the Blues, brutal.
Well, Timmy, our Snipers came out with significant playoff jump. They were mucking in the dirty areas and playing heavy. They had packed their lunch pail. Schwartzy put a carom past Jonesy. Fabsy with a glorious clapper. Browsy hit a letter-high knuckler into the bullpen. But the Shark nibbled away at our buy-in, our want-to, and our ice moxie. They chomped on our resiliency, and they chewed up our guile and our grit. Hello, Vladdy, where are you? It's like you're caged up in a zoo. Your goals have been way too few, and now we trail it 3-2, scoring something you got to do or we lose, and that's it for the Lou.
Wow, that's really good and sad at the same time.
It's a sad tale today. I couldn't be any sorrier for that.
That third period wasn't so much fun to watch.
Wasn't a good third stanza. Up 3-2, second period, I said, you know what, they're going to do this. They're going to do it. No. Just makes it all the more dramatic when they come back.
And Elliott in Game 6. No question, right?
He didn't say that last night. But
yeah, but he also said that Allen was fine.
He didn't blame it on anybody.
Yeah, I'm not saying it, but it didn't sound like a ringing endorsement.
I would certainly think, after what Elliott has done to this point, that once you face elimination coming off a game like what we saw last night, I think you kind of owe it to put Elliott back in there.
Yeah, I don't even know if who you owe or what you think you owe. I just think it's the best chance to win. He's been the guy that has been able to win games for you.
Yeah, it's not like Allen has stood on his head and spit wooden nickels.
We have all kinds of reaction over the course of the program from down at the Scott Trade Center, in addition to the guest list, Terry Yake, Jeremy Roenick, and Kelly Chase here. And we welcome you to get involved, sound off. To me, something that has been glaring throughout the course of the series, and I would imagine whenever the Blues Stanley Cup playoff run comes to an end, we will hear something, because this just doesn't stand to reason, is what's going on with Vladimir Tarasenko. It's mind-boggling how much of a non-factor he is. And Ken Hitchcock was asked about that last night as to what's going on with Tarasenko. It is our Fun with Audio presented by Llewellyn's Pub, and this is soundbite number 3, Ken Hitchcock on Vladimir Tarasenko.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
He's a guy that's he struggled this this series. He's struggled offensively. He hasn't got the looks offensively that he normally gets, but he's one shift away from breaking it open. And it's like any other goal scorer. When they don't score, there's a frustration, that level that comes in, and it's my job to make sure and correct the frustration level if I can.
Doesn't look like he's one shift away to me.
No, you don't hardly even notice him out there very much. You know, he used to be kind of the centerpiece of the offense, and now you really don't even notice him doing a whole lot.
He had a casual skate when the game was one goal, and Alex Pietrangelo just kind of hung out with the puck, and then it was stolen, and Tarasenko glided as the Sharks kept the puck possession in the blue zone, and then were able to score what was the back-breaking goal. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. But clearly something's not right with Tarasenko. And as we heard throughout the course of the broadcast and also on the post-game show, Jeremy Roenick said it, Anson Carter said it, Joe Micheletti said it, the Blues are going to need Vladimir Tarasenko to win the series. Of course, at the same time, they've won two games in the series. They were a minute and 23 seconds away from going into the third period to go up 3-2 in the series, leading 3-2, without Vladimir Tarasenko doing anything.
It's a different tone from Hitchcock than when he spoke about Tarasenko after last game or the one before, right? He said he has to learn how to fight through this. A young player either gets it or he doesn't. And that was sort of a different tone. I guess they realize we better get something from Tarasenko, so why not build him up, because we can't win without him.
I guess. I don't know how much longer he's a young player. I mean, he's been around a few years. I mean, you would think he's right in his hockey prime at this point.
Well, initially the excuse was you need experience to play well in the playoffs, and Robbie Fabry is taking that and shoving that right back at him.
Right.
And it's not like Robbie Fabry's the first guy who's in his early stages of his career who's had a very good Stanley Cup playoff. So my, you know, inclination is there is some kind of issue. Just I have no idea what it is. But either way, you almost hope that there's some kind of an issue, because the play has been inexplicable. And it's a major loss to have one of your best players and one of the best scorers in the game be a non-factor in the Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And even if he's not scoring goals, that's, you know, then if he's drawing more attention, that should open things up for other players, and he should be able to help them capitalize. We haven't seen any of that. We've just seen non-factor.
Plowshark, you like to give hot takes on Twitter throughout the course of the game. Your thoughts on the festivities last night at the Scott Trade Center?
Last couple games, I've been trying to avoid the hot takes. I just said one subtle one. The last 3 minutes of the game, when you really need the effort from the team the most, that probably wasn't the most embarrassing hockey I've watched.
It wasn't so subtle. I don't know if you could read that tweet, because it was...
most embarrassing 3 minutes of hockey I've ever witnessed. Nice effort there. When you need it the most, you play like that.
Well, it's kind of true. I mean, I'm not saying
you just labeled it as subtle.
But I think we're undermining how effective that first line of the Sharks are with Hurdle, Pavelski, and Thornton, and it just, I mean, it's kind of showing their speed and physicality are kind of showing up now.
And I give those guys credit, because in the last game, they did not play well. And they were part of the reason why the Blues were able to win that game.
Blues with some self-inflicted errors as well. Now, the Tommy Wingles thing on Shattenkirk should have been a call against Wingles. There's some history there, recent history, because he was involved in the hit on Fabry in Game 4. And Shattenkirk took exception and got a retaliation penalty. That set up a Sharks power play and a goal. And then you also have Shattenkirk later on, which set up a Sharks power play and a goal. But the one that Ken Hitchcock said was the backbreaker was the power play goal to tie it late in the second period. Blues are a minute and 20 away from going into the second intermission. up 3-2, and there was some really good breakdown on the NBC postgame show on the Blues. All four of the members of the penalty killing unit either involved in the end boards or making their way toward the end boards where the puck was up for grabs, and therefore leaving, you know, both Thornton and Pavelski wide open for, you know, a textbook power play goal. And you're talking about one of the best power play units in the game, and you can't make a mental mistake like that. So not only do you have retaliation penalties, which set up goals, but then you also have a lack of discipline on the PK, which led to a very simple and, you know, unstoppable goal. As Pavelski was just sitting right there over the middle, and then that is, as Thornton said a number of times following the game, that was the goal that gave us the momentum we felt shift, and then they come out there, and within 20 seconds of the opening of the third period, the Sharks take the lead. And that was the first time I felt like, guys, since Game 3, where the Blues were getting dominated again like they were in Games 2 and Games 3. That third period last night, they just didn't. They didn't have it, and the Sharks were just outplaying them.
Yeah, you wonder, when I watch, I always wonder why guys take these retaliatory penalties in such key moments of a game and a season. I guess it's easier as a viewer to say, well, don't do that, than it is when you're the one getting a stick in the face or in the back or a knee or an elbow. Or it's hard just not to turn around as a competitive guy in the heat of battle and slug the other guy back. It's hard to do that.
I always throw in when someone says, unless you're there, it's hard to know. But it's like what Pollock did. I mean, he almost gave that game away. Probably should have gotten another penalty, yeah, too, but that was ridiculous.
Something happened there that Pollock didn't want to get into, but we have a sound from him. With the fight with Yashkin, which was just bizarre, which led to a power play, which led to a Blues goal. Here it is.
Hit the lever, Blousy.
You know, I don't want to talk about it. You know, it happens. He know what he did, you know, and I just don't want to talk about it anymore. You know, that's, you know, I didn't jump in just because I wanted to or something like that. I just need to protect myself out there, too, and I think he knows what he did, you know, so that's why I did it.
He looked like he had a certain kind of anger that came with maybe an incident that we don't know about. Because he looked really, really mad.
Right. But, I mean, at that point in the game, right, they just killed off a penalty. You don't want to give the Blues another power play. It ended up costing them.
Our Stanley Cup playoff coverage is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light, a light body lager with a fresh, clean, and subtle hop aroma, delicate malt sweetness, and crisp finish for ultimate refreshment. Stanley Cup playoff coverage on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, brought to you by Bud Light. So, as I opened up the show with the dressing, and we welcome you to give your thoughts, whether it be on Tarasenko, Petrangelo at the end of the game, with whatever that was about, Pollock, Yashkin, the Blues, and the retaliation penalties. The overriding theme, unfortunately, since 2013, in season-defining games, Game 5s, stat that I'm sure at this point the vast majority of you have heard, 78-79% of the teams that win Game 5 in a series tied at 2 go on to win the series. So in 2013, in 2014, in 2015, in 2016, the Blues have had these series-defining games all at home with the series tied at 2, and in every one of them, they have lost. And unfortunately, in the first three, 2013 against the Kings, 14 against the Blackhawks, and 15 against the Wild, they go on to lose in Game 6 on the road. And, of course, if that were to happen tomorrow night, it would leave the Blues 2 wins short of the Stanley Cup Finals, the closest they would have been since 1986. They only won one game in 2001 against the Avalanche. So how/why does this absurdly unfortunate coincidence of losing 4 straight Game 5s with the series tied at 2 and 5 straight Game 5s at home overall, when you include the loss against the Blackhawks when they were up 3-1 a month ago, how/why does this continue to happen at home in the playoffs? Here's Ken Hitchcock on his theory.
Lever Plowsy. Hit the lever, Plowsy. Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Well, I think they're going to try to hit us with knockout punch early. I think they're going to try to play the same way they did against Nashville in that game there, and our job is to answer the bell. I think we're going to fully expect that that's what they're going to do, and our job is to answer the bell. The longer the game goes, closer, the better it is for our advantage. So that's what we got to look at, is extending the game. And we don't really care where we play. We are capable of playing a little bit better than we played today, and that's what we're going to look for. So however they play, we kind of see the blueprint. We know what they're going to do. They're a real good team, and so are we. I think the biggest thing for us is if we can continue to get the effort we got and eliminate some of these big errors, I think we got a chance to play for Game 7.
That was Ken Hitchcock on what he expects in San Jose on Wednesday night. David Backus, this is soundbite number 4. David Backus on his theory as to why the team has struggled in these crucial home Game 5s.
Hit the liver plowsy.
I just think we're a little cuter at home than we are on the road, where we just stick to an ugly, you know, puck steep type of game on the road, and it's effective, and it just wears on teams. Where here we're feeding them a little bit too much, we're in the box a little too much, and their power play made us pay a couple times tonight, and that's they win the special teams battle, and they won goal lead going into and most of the third period. It's reality. It's over. It's parked, and we got to go into San Jose, win a game. We've shown we can win a game in that building. We did it in Game 4, and now we got to go in there and do it again.
Your thoughts, 314-880-0808. David Backus theorizing they get too cute. Ken Hitchcock said he does not believe they get too cute.
Yeah, I've heard several players say that as they try to explain why home ice doesn't seem to help anymore. They always say, well, we try to make the extra pass, and we don't just shoot it. Well, then stop doing that. How hard is it to stop doing that? Don't play that way. If you get the shot, take it. Don't get cute. Take the shot.
I think sometimes you don't really have a real reason.
That must be what it is.
Spit it out. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. To me, there's no rhyme or reason to it. I still find myself, as a fan, saying, shoot the puck. Shoot it.
So maybe they are getting too cute.
I don't know. I don't know if they're looking for just the perfect play or what, but we've seen most of the goals in this series are scrambles in front or deflections or pucks that get banged in off a save. So you don't score on the first shot. Just fire it up there.
I really didn't think after the Sharks went up in the third, I still held out hope that the Blues would somehow get some energy going, maybe get to a loose puck first, which they seemed to stop doing, or digging one out of the corner. And it just never happened.
Well, it seems like the one consistent thing out of this whole series and the playoffs in general is when you think you see a trend, it tends to go the other way. When you think you got it figured out, that this team is done, they roar back in Game 4. And when you think, well, now we got some momentum, then they turn in the performance they did last night.
So then logic would dictate they'll somehow win tomorrow and force a Game 7 and then lose at home in Game 7.
Probably.
I mean, that would probably be the most devastating damn thing, to be a win away from the Stanley Cup Finals and have a Game 7.
Yeah, would that surprise you at this point? Nothing surprises me. There's no way to predict any of this.
Maybe they decide not to play at Scott Trade. They run out some other arena.
Though Steinberg. That'd be kind of interesting.
Steinberg's outdoors. You couldn't keep it cold enough.
Got to do something.
We'll check into that.
Got to be proactive if there is a Game 7.
David Backus theorized what was going on, or what is going on, with Vladimir Tarasenko. This is soundbite number 5.
Hit that lever, Plowsy.
I just scored there in the third where I finally got a little space and got a nice shot off through a little traffic back against the grain. And I think it might have found a glove. I don't know if he sees it or not, but, just takes a little spark. And all of a sudden, he's right where he needs to be and scoring big goals for us. But, he's trying his butt off. We're all trying our butt off. And we got to, again, learn a lesson, park this. We've played well for spurts of this game, not a complete effort like we had in Game 4. But if we put together a 60-minute effort like we had in Game 4, we love our chances. We're going in there. And in 2 nights, we got to win a hockey game and get it to another Game 7, which seemed to be our friends as of late.
David Backus on Vladimir Tarasenko, and then moving on in the
parking
part of the answer to not necessarily, and understandably so. Listen, these guys know what's going on with Tarasenko. It's my theory, for the record. It's not like I know. But they also have to protect the situation, whether it be injury or something else. The worst thing you can do as a head coach or as a captain is to let something out of the room. It's never forgotten. And it might be forgiven, but it wouldn't be forgiven in the near term, that's for certain. Keeping things inside the room is part of the game. That's not unique to the Blues. That's anywhere. It's business, too. But with regard to Tarasenko, you just can't possibly believe that he's right. Just a matter of what's wrong.
Well, I mean, if he's not 100% and he's playing very poorly, why would you go with him? You know,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's so bad.
I know,
even though he's one of the best players, it's so bad. Is it to the point of being a liability?
Right. And to me, you know, I get that, you know, and I hate that he's become a pinata now. Like, if they lose, it's all his fault, which clearly it isn't. But he's not playing well. And if people are looking for a reason and they're speculating about an injury, my thinking is if he's hurt and he isn't playing well, which clearly he's not, why is he in there?
I don't know. He's taking regular shifts. He's playing a lot of ice time. I've watched him there at, you know, at the game where you're not at the mercy of whatever TV shows you where I've just watched him, and there's times he's just flying down the ice like there's nothing wrong with him at all. And then there's other times he's just kind of floating around out there. When you ISO on him and just watch him, it looks like he's fine. It's just the puck's not finding him.
Your thoughts, 314-880-0808, 314-880-0808. Summer's fast approaching. Memorial Day weekend fast approaching, and this is why. Gateway Buick GMC is kicking off Memorial Day early. This dealership never ceases to amaze us here at the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and they want to make your summer one to remember, so they're offering an exclusive early Memorial Day deal for a limited time. Take $600 off your best trade-in value just to get you into a new or pre-owned vehicle that you really want. Their motto, Gateway, the right way, goes right along with their tagline. Treat yourself. Why not treat yourself just in time for summer? This offer is one of the best I've heard lately, so take advantage of that $600 bonus cash on top of your best current offer and get into your dream vehicle today. It's Gateway Buick GMC, I-270 McDonald Boulevard, online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. It's time for passive-aggressive angry text messages. Why aren't we talking about how bad Steen has been? Dougie's holding you accountable.
Well, you know, these are the messages we get after a loss, and then when they win, we talk about how great everybody's been. You know, Helle's on scholarship, too.
Yeah, why are you protecting Steen?
Yeah, it does seem like you have some kind of agenda.
Well, I don't really have an agenda. I do know that they're playing against a team that's clicking very well right now. The Sharks are a very good team. I don't know that Steen has been bad. He hadn't scored like what they'd want, but, you know, short sample size, sometimes the unlikely guys score. You would think, though, over a long series like this that you'd get a little something from Tarasenko.
You know, that Brouwer goal was sick, and I was thinking that you can't do better than that. I mean, to punt that out of midair.
That was awesome.
But then Pavelski, one of them, I don't even know how you get a stick on that. Now, yes, part of it is puck luck. Is that what you call it?
Puck luck.
Where, you know, the deflection goes right in the perfect spot. But we've seen Backes do that a million times, too. Just the hand-eye coordination, because you're not trying to stop the puck. You just want to get a little piece and redirect it.
Yeah.
And that puck is flying. I mean,
yeah.
That was a beautiful thing to see, as bad as it was for the Blues.
Seriously, F these damn hockey announcers. All they talk about is how badly they want to S the Sharks' D's. Effing bastards. Mm. Hold on, Doug. It's not over.
We're going to blame the announcers now.
I kind of had a sense that
they got a hand
Kenny Albert
it.
Had something yep. to do with that last night.
They got a hand in it, doesn't it?
Doug, I'm surprised you aren't on the Blues sucky train from I was living in South County, now I'm a West County baller.
No, I'm not going to give up on the Blues. What is it with these Bluesers who give up on their team when they lose a game? How many times have we seen it? The first two series went seven games. Did you give up on them every time they lost one of the games against the Blackhawks or the Stars? No, you don't give up on your club.
And plus, the Blues have been very good on the road, and then now with this announcement that they'll play a possible Game 7 at Steinberg.
They won't. Steinberg's not even open now.
Mm-mm.
You might be able to get out in Creve Coeur. They probably got some ice. I mean, the place only sits a few hundred.
Why, because it's a little further north?
Well, no, that has no explanation at all as to why it only seats a few hundred. It's just not that big of a facility.
Is Minnesota colder than Missouri?
Yes.
No further questions.
Creve Coeur is not in Minnesota.
I don't know about that.
You know what you ought to do is make one of those big signs with that Ghostbusters circle X through cuteness. No cuteness. Because they were apparently being too cute with the puck.
I guess. That's what they keep saying. You play a different game on the road. Well, play that game here. How hard is that?
Same ice, right?
Yeah.
Tim, watching Tank play, Doug, that's Franklin to you.
I don't know.
Should be enough to make you not want children. You immediately become slow and boring. Thanks. Oh, that's from Gary Unger's Grundle Butter.
It's not a bad text. I don't know that it's accurate, but it's not a bad text.
We can appreciate the art, even if we don't agree with the sentiment.
They think having the baby has got something to do with his lack of production.
I've received, I would say, around 20 to 30 of those so far. That's just the first one I've read.
The child is keeping him up at night crying.
Well, just so you know, I can think of three or four different Stanley Cups where they went to one team based on procreation.
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what it is? You're a fan and you want your team to win, so you're looking for something. So sometimes you gravitate to a reason that may not be near the top of the list for other people.
I guess those are the two bits of news in this playoffs. A, he had a child. B, he hasn't scored. So C, they must be related.
Right. Yep.
Other players have children, too, probably very young children.
Guys, I think Tarasenko's hurt, and the news will come out whenever they get eliminated or win the cup. That's AJ from St. J.
I saw a lot of tweets about that, but then I think if a guy's hurt and he's not performing well at all, why is he playing? Doug, seems like you're just...
Well, the question would be, what would you rather have out there, a beat-up Tarasenko or Ott Reeves? You know, I mean,
he's been a minus,
go?
Right? He's been a...
Oh, yeah.
He's been a minus.
It's not to say again, the other guys wouldn't be.
And I'm not saying that it's all his fault. I'm just saying if a guy's hurt and you're aware that he's hurt and you've tried to trot him out there and it hasn't worked, I would probably go in a different direction. And I'm sure that if he was hurt, that's something that they might have already done.
Guys, I never draft any players on my fantasy teams that have children. Kids are the worst. Thanks. That's from the 314.
What would you say of all the pro athletes, what, like 0.3% might have kids?
0.6, actually.
Some of the NBA guys have 6 or 7.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't seem to bother them much.
Well, it's different on the ice.
Who was the guy with Seattle?
Sean Kemp.
Yeah, he had
the Rain Man.
He had 7 or 8 with 7 or 8 different moms. Hmm.
The Rain Man cometh.
Tarasenko has staggered off the ice a few times over the course of a series where he looks like he got banged up. Yeah, but a lot of them have. And when you see him playing almost 19 minutes a game, and there's times I've seen him flying down the ice, I don't think he's banged up too badly.
You sound like a rights holder.
Guys, no Elliott talk yet. I'm surprised.
What do you mean? We brought up Elliott. We just did.
Would you like me to suspend that texter?
No.
That's from Stacy Reck.
That's your thing. We said, to me it's a no-brainer. You go back to Elliott, Allen's fault, but Elliott has showed he has been the guy that can single-handedly win you a game.
And every time they want a spark, they change up the lineup a little bit, and that seemed to work. You know, whether that's related to the spark or not,
Once the news trickles down about Steinberg, the players...
They're not playing at Steinberg. It's closed. It's not even a hockey rink. It's just a sheet of ice. There's no boards at Steinberg.
Yeah, what I'm saying is it's time to get back to fundamentals. Like when you were skating as a kid in Moose Jaw.
Okay.
So that'll do it for the Blues. A win in Game 7, you're welcome.
That's the end of the Blues talk because you would like to get them back to the fundamentals that
they
played at
John
Moose
Lackey
Jaw?
Next.
Welcome Eli Russo to the fan page.
Oh, I like a good blister.
Are we doing that today? We're going to bring that back?
Doug, 2,785 members in the new 106-hour fan page. It's only been open for 106 hours.
Getting a lot of traffic, is it?
Yeah, you ought to become one of the members. Can't create a Facebook account and just hang on out.
Is it as vile as the other one?
I think it's just beautiful
Same
civil
stuff.
Discourse.
Same
did
stuff.
Did you tweet out a vile picture?
Doug?
No.
From Roderick or something?
No. Why would I do that?
I don't know. I thought Roderick tweeted some. Maybe
Roderick tweeted about Jim Campbell, who is on the U.S. Bank Afternoon Drive. And do you remember? Do you know Soupy?
I don't know, Soupy. We've talked to him on this show.
Oh,
once.
Okay. Well, here's what he had to say.
Before we get into all the in-depth hockey talk, I understand you have a story about our morning show host, Doug Vaughn.
Was that the hot tub story?
That's what I was told, yes.
It's too graphic. I can't explain. I can't say it on the radio. It just gets too graphic.
That sounds like Doug.
But,
yeah.
he was near you, Soupy, while you were in a hot tub.
That's true.
Okay.
Huh.
That's Joe Roderick and Jennings
and
Jim
tub?
Campbell.
Which hot tub?
I wasn't there. Well, I don't know.
Someone tweeted a picture, and I thought you retweeted it.
No. I have no idea what he was talking about.
He doth protest too much.
No clue. I saw the tweet, so I responded. Just kind of good-naturedly, of course. I didn't tweet any pictures. There are no pictures of me in a hot tub with Soupy.
Well, I saw one, and I thought you retweeted. I was going to block you.
No, I don't tweet vile pictures.
Tim, why don't you show him that picture that was making the rounds?
I actually don't know what picture you're talking about, believe it or not.
Someone photoshopped a picture of me in a hot tub, is that right?
Yes, and I thought we had stopped that.
Well, we have. We never started it.
I don't know who tweeted, so I'm trying to get Roderick, but it's like my phone has an aversion to Joe Roderick's Twitter, so it's working slowly.
All right.
Doug, Matt Passanisi, Jennifer Heitman, and Ryan Price are now members of the fan page.
There's three more, then.
A lot of ladies on this fan page, but then they never post.
Well, because they don't exist. They're not real.
Yeah, that's probably right.
So I wouldn't worry about that too much, Tim.
Tim, why haven't I been accepted to the fan page, and you don't read my text? Do you hate me? That's from Humphrey.
Well, the texts are probably horrible. That's why, happy Humphrey. That'd be my guess. I haven't seen any of them.
Guys, if each tweet by Roderick were a Cardinal fan, it would be standing room only at Bush. Thanks, Steve Wildwood.
Tweets all day, does he?
Well, he's got a lot to say.
And what's he saying?
There it is. Oh, this was a tweet from Buck Swope.
Imagine that.
It's not that...
Yeah, there we go again.
I mean, it's not that fan-friendly.
That is a creepy, creepy person. Yeah. Hysterical.
And it's not even a good Photoshop job.
No.
Brandon creepy. O'Brien, Jason Aaron.
Very gay. Very
Dan
creepy.
Mertzluft, Derek Stratman, welcome. It's great to have you on board the fan page.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new and different fan page. It's a new horizon. That's why I look at it. And when I get on Facebook, I'm going to join that fan page and be part of that new horizon.
Welcome. Did you guys catch Jesus Ortiz's retweet of a Tribbing tweet? Yep, that was, I think, Danny Hallgren in the IT department who sent it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus, unfortunately,
didn't get the joke.
Right, and then it went out as a retweet.
Do you feel proud? Because let's face it, you're the... You're the torchbearer of that Tribbing movement.
Well, I really attribute it to Princess and Dana DeArmond. They're the ones who I first noticed the Tribbing. And so I think we should give them credit, not me. Thank you.
I don't know who those two guys are.
Suffering. You know,
suffering.
But that was a very good political answer. Like, no one really understood.
No.
He did sort of take himself away from the blame.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's like when Backus was asked about Tarasenko, he just started answering something about playing on the road.
And he just nodded along. Yeah. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, okay. Get back to that later.
Guys, Doug's being an angry little twink this morning. That's from the Porcelain Pollock.
Why? What did Doug say?
I don't know. That's the Porcelain Pollock.
If you allow me to come to your defense.
Yeah. Just Buck Swope's weird Photoshops. Boy, that is a creepy guy.
You guys were hanging out at the golf tournament, though.
I wasn't hanging out.
He was wearing a green jacket.
He was following me. I was not hanging
out. He was with that Janie the lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell him that next time he Photoshops something vile, he'll put five of these where he sneezes.
No.
That might solve the problem. Sometimes violence does.
Can you imagine that being your life's work, where you do silly Photoshops of people? That's
well,
what
sure.
I do. I Photoshop him in a hot tub.
But
this
I mean,
is who the guy is.
Well, I mean, he has a job, I assume.
I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. You've met him?
Have I met him?
He's the pride of Priory.
Yeah, I think I've met him.
Yeah, Priory.
He is. He really
did. Well, he went over there. Wow.
Maybe he's under the misconception that you enjoy that and laugh at it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you straighten him out and you said, hey, Buck Swope, I'm not enjoying that. Knock it off, fella. Come on, guy. Have you said that to him?
No, but I'm going to report it to Facebook, and they may yank the page because you're not allowed to have vile stuff on the Facebook. Because they'll yank a page down if there's
yeah, but you don't want
naughty
if
photo.
He's a member of Tim.
But if there's photos like that, I don't care. I'll do it anyway.
Was that on the New Horizon website?
That was not. That was actually not.
Okay,
it
good.
Was, I guess it was on Twitter. I hadn't seen it until you pulled it up on your phone. And where did that come from? The Twitter tweets?
Yeah, I think maybe Roderick or someone retweeted. I just saw it.
Maybe you should pull Roderick down.
Maybe he didn't retweet. I want to get him in trouble.
Doug, this is Cucky the Dwarf.
Hello,
hey,
Cucky.
Fellas.
Hi, Cuck.
Hey, I just want to... I put that loss on me last night, boys.
Why is that?
It was all on me. I just haven't done enough, obviously.
Yeah, Doug.
Well...
Yeah, Doug.
Well, don't blame me. You said you're the one who didn't do enough.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, it's me.
Why
guys.
Didn't you do it?
Well, I think the problem is that... Doug, you haven't put on a pair of jorts in a while.
I've heard people say that. I've heard people say that.
Well, I think that's good hockey analysis, that I haven't put on a pair of jorts, and so the Blues came up short.
Terry Yake said the same thing.
He's going to be with us at 8 o'clock. Jeremy Roenick, 8:45. Kelly Chase, 9:05.
Yeah, the National guys were talking about it like crazy.
They weren't.
Nice.
I mean, I don't know what you're watching, but... That one's on me. We're going to get them. I'm still hopeful. This morning I woke up. The sun was shining bright. There was a raccoon that visited me last night. It's a little rally raccoon.
Huh.
And I think everything's going to be okay, guys.
What do you mean the raccoon visited you? Did he come into your tent or something?
A raccoon problem in my backyard. I got my mom a bird feeder for her for Mother's Day. Mm. And it's becoming quite the little extravaganza for animals in the backyard.
Is it?
Yeah, we got this raccoon. I've been feeding him baked Cheetos, just kind of leaving him a few scraps.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he comes back every night
well,
just wanting
so,
some
yeah.
more Cheetos.
That's what the varmints do. Yeah. If you put
yeah,
out food,
okay.
you're going to attract the varmints.
Hey, you know, it's okay. He came and he kind of winked at me last night like, hey, buddy, everything's going to be okay. So that's the way I feel.
Okay.
Thank you, Cucky.
Everyone could use a little raccoon reassurance, Doug.
See Acorns Golf Links, 7 o'clock hour in the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Acorns Golf Links, 6,700 yards in Zoysia Fairways. Visit acornsgolflinks.com for details or tee time. Talk to a lot of people who go over there and play and say it is an absolutely beautiful condition. And now, Doug, that I've come out of retirement, even though you'll notice that I have this blister and I have a Band-Aid yeah. over it, I think I'm holding the club too tight. I think.
Probably
I don't
so.
Know.
I would suggest a couple of gloves, not just one.
Big Al wears two gloves.
No, I mean two gloves on each hand.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Double coat.
Yes. That'll cut down those blisters.
Yeah.
Acorns Golf Link, sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour. Terry Yake, 8 o'clock. Jeremy Roenick, 8:45. Kelly Chase, 9:05. Ningy Ningy will have the chance that the Sharks have tomorrow night. They will have it tonight in Tampa, and that is to close out the series on home ice. The Penguins and Blues in a really similar situation. I suppose the Penguins a little rougher. They had a 2-0 lead and then a 3-2 lead, 17 minutes left, or 17 minutes into the third period in their game 5 at home, and lost the lead and then lost early on in the overtime. Blues had a 3-2 lead late into the second period and then lost that game early on in the third. The difference, of course, is unlike the Penguins, where it was just over, the Blues still had 19 minutes and 45 seconds to try and do something, and there really wasn't a whole lot there. Number of opportunities in the first and second, not a whole lot going on in the third period. The Sharks reestablished the dominance that we saw for the vast majority of games 2 and 3 in the third period last night.
Well, it's just time to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. That's all Hitch can say. I guess they're going to practice this morning, get on a plane, fly out there later today. That's all you can do.
You going to go to the media availability today?
I will not. This will be my one half a day off of the week.
Oh, sweet action.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what about the team? They could use a little inspiration.
Well, someone from the Four Fox will be out there, but it won't be me. I assume you ask me personally if I will be there.
Well, because you bring a little inspiration.
I don't think I bring
You're
inspiration.
You're a leader in the community.
I don't think so.
You don't think the guys will be happy to see you?
I don't think so, no.
I do.
I don't think they'll care.
You're a likable guy.
Guys, can we talk about how the plow shark has wrongfully predicted every NHL series so far? It's from Ray King. I don't think he has. I know he got. I know he took the Blackhawks, and he probably decided at that moment he'll never do that again because the juice was not worth the squeeze. But I thought you went on to the Blues against the Stars, and I thought you also picked another series as well.
I actually picked the Predators beating the Ducks, and I also picked the Sharks over the Blues originally.
The Predators didn't play the Ducks. Oh, you picked the Predators and the Ducks in the first round you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
And, yeah, I did pick the Hawks in seven, but I also picked the Blues in five or six against Dallas. I never once picked Dallas to win that series.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And it's a 27-year-old twink who's making the prediction, so if that's your lifeblood to your hockey knowledge, then I apologize.
27 years old, though.
This is Plowsy or the guy who texted in?
Myself, I'm 27 years old. I don't really have any hockey experience, and I just make random predictions. So he can call me out. But
he said Blues in seven, silly stoner. That's from the 314. Well, I mean, that still is in play.
Why is that?
It's one
not
of
in
the
play?
Three possible outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Plowsy, what are you picking now, Blues in seven?
I think the last prediction we did was the exit poll, and that was after the debacle. I think game two or three, I can't remember.
Yeah, it was game three.
So I think I picked the Sharks in six after that.
Oh, my prediction was Blues, and of course these are stone cold with a lot of research and obviously money back guarantees. If the Blues were to win game four, they would win in seven. If the Sharks were to win game four, they would win in five. So I'm in play. As we just throw darts.
Just guess. Yeah, and we'll forget what we picked.
Well, no, we won't, but we'll ignore it if we're wrong. Yeah. But if we're right, yeah. The key on Sports Talk Radio, and then you go on Twitter and Facebook, I told you.
I called it right here. I was the only one to say that.
Billy Gilman's 28 years old today. It's from the 314.
Happy birthday.
See?
Everyone's throwing darts, though. How can you figure this series out? You can't.
You can't figure out any of it. You can't. Used to be that if a team was at home, pretty good chance that they were going to win. No, it's the opposite.
Well, you can evaluate what you've seen so far. And in my analysis throughout the course of the Blues-Blackhawks series, it was a flip. I thought the talent was a flip, and I thought the Blues had played better the majority of the series. I think Ken Hitchcock said it either yesterday or 2 days ago that he thought one of the best games they've played all postseason, and now you're talking about a 20-game sample size, is Game 5 in St. Louis, where they lost in overtime, and they were down 3-1, fought back, tied it, and then Kane scored the game winner. Oftentimes, result doesn't necessarily dictate what the process was, unfortunately. And I thought that was a 50-50 series. I thought the Blues were the better team against the Stars, partially because the Stars didn't have their whole roster. But it went to a Game 7, unfortunately, and perhaps the Blues are paying the price for having two seven-game series that they could have, at least in the case of the Blackhawks series, closed out earlier and saved some time, saved some more minutes on those bodies here. And then, as far as what I've seen from the Blues and Sharks, I feel like the Sharks have looked like the better team, and I feel like the Sharks have overall, if you're talking about it, analyzing five games worth of hockey, I think the Sharks have played better too.
Yeah, but if you're trying to project what's going to happen, after three games, it looked like the Sharks had it in hand. Who could predict that the Blues would respond with a 6-3 win, and then the momentum would totally shift back to San Jose as they win.
Right. Well, I wasn't talking about a prediction, though. I was just talking about what we've actually seen. And I feel like the Sharks have looked like the better team, and they've outplayed them, unfortunately.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They seem to get the better scoring opportunities almost every game.
They seem more disciplined.
Well, they really have some bitch qualities, though. I mean, there's been some real bitch ass out there. And whether it be Thornton with the shot to Petrangelo, whether it be Wingles on Fabry, Wingles on Shattenkirk, something must have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, Burns with the shot to Tarasenko's ribs. I personally don't think that was a coincidence on the location. And then also what you had with whatever was going on with Roman Pulak last night. I mean, my God, it's not like
that was crazy.
It's not like he was going up against Ryan Reeves. I mean, was he going to pick on Fabry next?
I mean, obviously something happened, and we had the sound from Pulak where he alluded to
yes.
it without going into it. And I didn't have the sound on. I'm just watching a monitor. and it looked like he wanted to kill somebody.
Yes.
But at that point, I don't care what happened to you. You have to think of the team and the situation. You don't want to give the Blues another power play opportunity.
Yeah. Pierre LeBrun immediately tweeted out, how's that not an instigator on him? I mean, I don't know what that – it's bizarre to me. Tyler, you're on the appliance discounter phone line.
Hello, Tyler. Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Yeah, we're fine. You?
Well, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, why don't you turn your radio down? There's something going on in the background.
There's a hamster wheel in the background. Like,
it does.
I'll tell you what it is. It's the my fault, guys. It's the Bluetooth. I thought I'd go hands-free. My mistake.
It's all right. It's all good. What can we do for you, sir?
I was curious if you might have already mentioned it before I got in the car, but was Tarasenko playing his real game last night? It seemed like he wasn't getting the loose pucks. I don't know if maybe he's a little under the weather or hurt, but he looked like a guy who had kind of given up on the series. I don't know. I'm just looking for your guys' take.
Well, we did discuss it. There was speculation floated out there that because he had a kid, he's no good anymore.
To say,
Doug, you did a package on that last
night. I didn't. Okay. To speculate that he's given up on a series, that's a horrible way to phrase it. All these guys are banged up at this point, some worse than others. You see them after the game, they're limping around, a lot of them, and yet they put the skates on and they play, and they don't look like there's anything wrong.
Everybody's trying.
It's hard to know exactly what the problem is. He could be banged up, or it could be just one of those slumps that happens. A lot of guys are streaky scorers. He might get three tomorrow night.
Yeah, but you got to talk about effort.
Well, it looks like he's got some effort, doesn't he? When you watch him, does it look like, well, he's given up on the series? Come on.
I'm just amused how when it comes to the game of hockey and analyzing Stanley Cup playoffs, the term effort is thrown around so loosely. But when the Cardinals and Jaime Garcia throw balls around on bunts, you don't go, wow, where was the effort there?
Where's the buy-in? Did he not buy in on our bunt play?
The Carolina Panthers get shipped in the Super Bowl as a big favorite, and well, the effort wasn't there. It's just an odd thing.
I think he ought to change the word effort to performance, maybe. The performance wasn't there. The effort, I don't doubt there.
Just in our whole vocabulary?
Well, when it comes to athletes and playing and their performance.
The effort thing, you can talk about a random game in the Major League Baseball season in June and maybe you have some questions, but you're talking playoff hockey. You're talking about a chance to go to the Stanley Cup final. I think everybody's trying.
It's absurd to say they don't have the effort. Or a guy will take a slap shot and it'll hit a skate and a stick and the goalpost and go in. They go, well, we didn't come ready to play. Well, for heaven's sakes. If it hit the goalpost and went out, well, we got a lot of resiliency and grit.
I think it's amazing the effort that you do see considering the grind that it is for every team that has gotten this far. I mean, the amount of physical exertion and the frequency of which you're playing and have to bounce back and play, it is remarkable.
At this point, they've played another quarter of a season.
Yep. And as intense as you can get.
Mm-hmm. It's the Dickens, actually.
Thank you.
It's as intense as the Dickens.
Guys, see Acorns Golf League, 7 o'clock hour. Terry Yake with his assessment of the festivities last night. 8 o'clock, Jeremy Roenick of NBC with us at 8:45. Kelly Chase presented by GFI Digital. That is at 9:05. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Only five more emails of the day for the month of May. Stephen Wildwood holding on by one, but you sense, as you watch everybody out on the ice, that Misty Plops has taken control, even though Stephen Wildwood has the lead. I was looking for last night. I know this affects nobody involved with the show, but I know some of our listeners do wager and do use Bovada. And after the Sharks scored at the end of the second period, I'm like, oh, crap, I got to go bet on the Sharks now. Emotional risk management, not because I thought they were going to win, but it was going to be brutal if they did. And it certainly seemed like they had seized momentum with that goal 90 seconds before the end of the period, and the game wasn't available. The money line was not available. You could bet on like overs, unders, and stuff like that. I have no idea what that was all about. I don't know if anybody else saw that or if they were able to somehow live bet the game. But for those of you who enjoy emotional risk management, that's the move. And, I'm getting any time the Blues or Cardinals have these runs in the postseason, obviously the Cardinals with usually deeper runs than the Blues over the last 16 years, but the Blues have had their share as well. people ask about this emotional risk management thing, and especially now that people are feeling like the end may be near for the Blues, emotional risk management is, for me, betting on the team that you cheer for to soften the blow. Some people don't want to do it. That's fine. If you want to chastise me for it, it's fine. It doesn't matter. It's not going to change how I approach it. It just softens the blow. And I would imagine that the Sharks will be something along the lines of a minus 150 to minus 160 favorite tomorrow night. That's what my guess would be. But I don't know. So that means you would have to bet, if it is 150, $150 in order to win 100. So if you want to ship 450, you could win 300. And if winning 300 will soften the blow of the Blues coming up 2 wins short of the Stanley Cup Finals, that is emotional risk management.
People have their other ways of dealing with that. I have my own emotional risk
you management. You blame Vladimir Tarasenko's family?
No. I get a box of Malamars, and should the Blues lose, as they did last night, I bust into that thing and eat some Malamars.
You eat your feelings?
Yeah.
That dull the pain a little bit?
Self-medicate.
Does it help?
Not really. And I don't.
You just sit in a corner, kind of slump-shouldered, and just keep eating?
With tears in my eyes.
Yeah.
Some people go to the booze.
Yeah, we deal with our stress in different ways, don't we? I usually just look at the game and say, okay, all right, would you look at the time? Time to go home.
And then you sleep like a baby.
I find the, yes, usually. I find that the older I get, the less crucial every game becomes. You know, when I was a kid and a teenager, this stuff was just so darn important. It was just ruled my life.
Well, you're not a real fan.
And then the older you get, you realize, you know, there'll be another season. All right, would have been nice, would have been fun. Well, that was entertaining. That was a long ride. Started in when? September. It was fun, great entertainment. Didn't quite do it. Okay, we'll get them next year.
Well, I think it's time you hand in that free Blues polo.
I should start crying if they lose?
Give it to a real fan. You get yourself some Malamars. You make a wager. You get some risk management there. Yeah. Otherwise,
you're not a real fan.
Yeah.
Guys, how many damn sticks has Steen broken? Thanks. Does seem like maybe one out of every five Sharks power plays the Blues have three players and one stickless Steen just kind of skating around. And it's like hanging off the edge of a skyscraper. You're going, oh, my God, it's got to please clear the puck or deflect it into the netting because this is not going to end well. Mm. I do feel like I've seen it three times. I know one time they scored for certain.
He's either got a stick that's a little different than everybody else, or he shoots it a little different and snaps it off. It's got to be one or the other.
The Sharks netminder lost his stick. He was in goal with no stick for a while. But did you notice
that?
And then
it was a huge deal. Like, I didn't feel like the crowd was maybe aware of it. And Kenny Albert was just kind of like, Jones without a stick. And I'm going, that's a pretty big deal.
And it was close enough where he could have grabbed it at one point, and I guess you don't want to
leave. I didn't think he could have grabbed it. I thought that was a great advantage for the Blues, and unfortunately they turned it over.
No stick. The goalie without a stick.
Yeah. Oh, God. Doug, what did he call it? Glorious scoring?
It would have been a glorious if they'd shot the puck.
Acorns Golf Links, 7 o'clock hour, coming to a conclusion. On the other side of the break, Terry Yake, Jeremy Roenick, Kelly Chase, your calls, your texts, your emails. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and inside STL.com live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.